Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you've laid on Ian's heart this week. And we pray now that you bring your anointing. Lord, we come with expectation, not just that we know he'll be interesting and possibly entertaining, but we come with expectation because we know that you will speak truth through him. And we know that your truth sets us free. So come and free us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, I must have failed to get the email about wearing something pink. So sorry about that. I've let you all down. I know you were just waiting for that. Well, I suggest you'd have to wait a long time. But I did once have a salmon shirt, but it wasn't pink. It was salmon. Okay, it's Mothering Sunday. We've already heard that. So why on earth does our reading not have any mention of mothers? Okay? All it talks about is children. Well, it starts about children, and then it develops on from there. Well, it's because not all of us can be mothers. A large chunk of us are genetically incapable of being mothers. And some of us here today would have longed to be a mother, and that didn't happen, or wasn't part of your story. There's an awful lot in that imagery, and I'm not going to do anything with it today, because what Jesus was trying to do is he was trying to give to his followers an understanding of what it meant to come to Jesus. And so Jesus wanted to use a universal example, something we could all relate to, because I can tell you, every single one of us in this church has been a child. Every single one of us. Now, our experiences might have been very different one from another for that. But each one of us is being that. And Jesus wanted to refer to something that we could all relate to when he was trying to explain to his disciples what it meant to come to him. You see, the disciples had made a big mistake. Sorry. They had confused status and behavior with acceptance and importance. What had they done? Well, the children had come around Jesus, and people were bringing children and thrusting them forward in the hope that Jesus might pray for them or bless them. And it was noisy and it was messy. And the disciples tried to stop it because they wanted to make room for important stuff and important people. Children can be noisy, demanding, and messy, as well as fun and cute. I don't know if any of you had the experience of a chocolate-covered toddler launching themselves at you with sticky fingers to give you a big hug. Children can be like that. They come just as they are. And the disciples had pushed away these messy, noisy, cute kids in order to make room for important stuff and important people and rich people. A bit like the man who's about to appear in the story. But Jesus' reply to them is simple. Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. I'm going to read that again. Anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Let's just look at what happened when the children came to Jesus. The first thing Jesus did was to take them in his arms, accept them, messy, sticky, smelly, sweaty, dusty, noisy as they were. He just accepted them and took them in his arms. Maybe you today need to feel accepted. That is what Jesus offers if you come to him. acceptance, however you are. And then, having taken them in his arms, he blessed them. Jesus just doesn't just take their love and their hug. He actually gives something to them. He gives them his blessing. A blessing that transforms, a blessing that heals, a blessing that brings new life, a blessing that brings freedom, a blessing that brings forgiveness, a blessing that was going to cost him his very life. But he took them in his arms and accepted them, and he blessed them. So what is it about childhood? What is it about being a child and accepting and coming to Jesus as a child? Well, when a child gives themselves, when a child gives their love, there's no holding back, is there? It's all or nothing. You're either the very person they want to fling their arms around because they're happy to see you, or they'll sulk and hide in the corner. But there's no in-between, is there, really? It's just all or nothing. I take a different imagine. You've probably all seen the James Bond films, or maybe some other sort of films, in a gambling casino, and there's sort of drama going on, and there's big piles of chips on the table, and it usually gets to the point where it's make or break. James Bond has to go all in. One throw of the dice. And he pushes all the chips, everything that he has, across the table on the turn of the next card. He goes all in. It's a term that comes from the gambling arena. Children, when they offer their love, are all in. And Jesus is saying, when we come to him, we need to come as a child. And that's my first point today. Come as a child. Be all in. Because that rich man who comes along next, he was exactly the sort of person that the disciples wanted to make room for. That's why they tried to shoo the children away, because they wanted to allow these important people, these rich people, these people who'd got it together, these movers and shakers. They wanted to make room for them to get close to Jesus. But the rich man didn't get that he needed to come as a child. He was so tied up in his own comfort and his possessions that he went away from Jesus sad, not happy. He went away from Jesus not blessed. Jesus still received him. We're told that Jesus looked at him and loved him. And the rich man hadn't come trying to trick Jesus. He honestly wanted the answer to the question, how can I have everlasting, eternal life? How can I have the life that you're promising from God? And Jesus looks at him and loves him and knows he's absolutely genuine and really wants to hear the answer. Now, some people think that Jesus was really super spiritually sensitive here and saw that the man had a secret desire for money buried in his heart. No, that's not what the scripture tells us. The scripture just tells us that Jesus said to him, okay, give all you have to the poor and come and follow me. Be all in for me. Give me everything. Give me all who you are and follow me. So if my first point is come as a child, my second point is come poor. You see, that rich man wanted to know what. He'd given up his time to read the scriptures. He'd given up his time to pray. He'd given up his comfort, or some of his comfort anyway, to keep the commandments. And he wanted to know what extra little bit he needed to give up in order to win this prize that Jesus is talking about. And Jesus says, everything. And that wasn't the answer the rich man wanted. The rich man was used to getting what he wanted in return for who he was and what he owned. And many of us think that the world owes us a living. Many of us think that we our importance or our skills or our background or our upbringing or our education somehow give us a position. They don't. We just come as a child and we give it all. Jesus begins to explain that a bit when he says how hard it is for the rich, for the comfortable, for the healthy, for the well-sorted, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he's turning the world's understanding on his head because we think it's so much easier when you're rich. And don't get me wrong, this world is stacked against the poor. This world is as unjust as it's possible to think of it in the 21st century. This world constantly takes from the poor the little they have and gives it to the wealthy who've already got more than enough. I read an article in the news just this morning when our Prime Minister has said he's going to cut benefits so he can give tax breaks. Now, I don't want to get into a political debate, but our world is stacked, again, in the way of taking from the poor and giving more to the rich. Poor, being poor is dreadful. Being poor cuts your life expectancy. Being poor cuts your health. Being poor affects where you live and your relationships. I'm not trying to say that being poor is easy. But being rich can cut you off from the greatest gift you could ever be given. The acceptance and the blessing of Jesus. The disciples get really quite strange because they lived in a world where people who had property, people who had money, people who had a good job and security were seen as specially blessed by God. And Jesus says, how hard it is. And the disciples said, well, in that case, who can be saved at all? And Jesus teases it out a bit, doesn't he? By giving this camel an eye of a needle thing. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe you've heard the camel and the eye of a needle described as the eye of a needle is this little door to the side of the main door into the city. You'd have the big doors through the city walls, and to the side of it, you'd have a small door, which was known as the eye of the needle, so the explanation goes. And they would close the big doors at sunset, but if you needed to get into the city to get safety after sunset, you had to get through the little. And the story goes that every so often a tradesman would arrive with a laden camel with his belongings too late to get in the big doors. So all the people sitting around would watch this really quite funny bit of theatre as the man unpacked his camel and squeezed this reluctant animal through the hole and then had to carry the stuff through. Great story, makes a wonderful little children's storybook by Mick Ingpen. If you've ever seen a copy, it's really funny, and it's not true. The first reference we have to that sort of story comes from the 9th century AD. A monk sitting in a monastery somewhere in Europe wrote it down as an explanation of how the story could be understood, because we've always been uncomfortable with this story. The church of God, people like you and me, have always been uncomfortable with this idea that riches get between us and God's blessing. Because it's so contrary to what the world says. We've no evidence that it was a little door that you could get a camel through if you just took the possessions off and squeezed. I still think that's pretty hard. If you've ever tried to do anything with a camel, I wouldn't suggest even trying. They're worthwhile watching in the distance. They look quite interesting and funny, but as for getting up close and personal with one, no thank you. No, Jesus was a preacher, and he used a preacher or a speaker or an orator's trick of hyperbole. which is using a ridiculous image to try and bring a truth home. So when he says a needle, I think he means a needle that you use for stitching stuff. And the needles, okay, they'd be a bit more butch than ours today, because the manufacturing techniques wouldn't be, but still the hole in the top is really small, and a camel isn't going to go anywhere near it. What Jesus is saying is, if you're rich, you're stuffed. If you're rich, it's not possible. And the disciples spot that, and they say, well, who then can be saved? How is it going to happen? And Jesus says, yep, you're right, it's impossible. You are stuffed. But not for God. It's not possible for God. It's not impossible for God. For you, it is. But for God, it can be done. I've got some quotes here. Freddie Mercury, the one-time leader of the leader of Queen, said this: can you imagine how terrible it is when you've got everything and you're still desperately lonely? That's awful beyond words. Describing his experience of life. Doesn't that sound like someone who wants to be accepted and blessed, but hadn't found it in all his fame and all his money? And then Jim Carrey. I hope everybody could get rich and famous and have everything they've ever dreamed of so that they will know it's not the answer. Not a renowned religious commentator, but someone else who'd found that riches and purpose and goals and being famous wasn't the answer. And then Bob Marley said this: money is numbers, and numbers never end. If it takes money to be happy, your search for happiness will never end. I can see why Jesus wanted to say, it's a camel and needle thing. Because if you try and do it based on those things, you won't get there. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying stuff gets in the way. What we might class as success, what we might class as comfort, what we might class as health, all that can stand as a massive block between you and God. Come as a child and come poor. But whatever you do, come. Come. Peter sort of puts two and two together and says, well, what about us? Do you know that Jesus refers to them as children? He says, my children, in that reading. He's recognizing that they've already done the coming to him as a child. It doesn't mean they knew the answers. Peter didn't know the answers. But Jesus refers to him and the other disciples as his children, as children. And Jesus then tells him, you don't need to worry, I pay my debts. There's nothing you've given up in this world that I won't take the pressure and the stress and the strain, and I will be in there and I will bless you here and now. Yes, it'll come with persecutions. Yes, it'll have its troubles. You're not going to have an easy life. But I am going to be there, and you will receive far more than you give. So come as a child. Come poor. But whatever you do, come. So I want to end with a simple question for you and for me. Are you holding back on Jesus? Are you trying to be a grown-up and negotiate your own deal. Well, this much, Lord, I'll do that. And I'll come to church at least once a Sunday or once a month, or I'll say my prayers when I remember, or I'll read my Bible, or I'll do this, or I'll do that, or I'll give that away, or I'll support this charity, or I'll do this. Are we trying to negotiate? Are we just running at him and throwing our arms around him, mess and all, and just hugging him in the way that a young child would hug? And then Jesus hugs us back and blesses us. Maybe you've never thrown yourself at Jesus before and you could want to do that today. You can do that. It's only a prayer away. You could even do that where you're sitting now, but we'd love to pray with you over in the prayer corner if you want to. But maybe you just feel you've let go and you've become a bit too grown up. Well, there's a child in us all, isn't there? When did I become 61? Well, I could tell you it was an actual day last year. But when did I stop being Ian about this size high, dressed in short trousers and long socks? That Ian is still in here, and that Mary is still in you, and that Elizabeth, and that Peter, and that John, and that Richard, and that Alan, and that Fiona, and that names go on and on. Whoever you are, the child you is still there, and Jesus still longs for you to come rushing at him headlong, mess and all, sticky fingers, and he wants to take you in his arms, accept you, and bless you. Let's pray. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Lord. It's all I can do not to just want to run down the center aisle and throw my arms around you if I could but see you. Lord, help us to throw our arms around you with a big hug as a child. And help us receive your embrace back and your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.